the August 27th Finance Committee meeting to order and ask for a motion for approval of the agenda. Mr. Denisha, second. Mr. Fay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ask for a motion for approval of the minutes of July 30 Finance Committee. Mr. Perkins, second. Mr. Hooper, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Paquin and Mr. Leader are both excused for tonight. First order on the agenda is the audit presentation. So this should be come on now.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? My name is Nicole Ruff. I'm from Drescher and Malecki, and today I'm here to discuss the audit results of the 2017 audit. Should have a presentation and also draft financial statements of the fund financial statements. As the external auditors for the county, our responsibility is to obtain reasonable assurance that these financial statements are not materially misstated. So the product of that is our opinion on these financial statements. These are in draft form. We did receive our last piece of audit evidence actually today, so they will be dated as of this date. We do anticipate issuing a unmodified opinion on your governmental activities, your business type activities, your major funds, and the aggregate remaining fund information, which means your non-major funds and your trust and agency funds. That unmodified opinion is the highest opinion that you can receive. There will be, as in consistent with previous years, no opinion on, there'll be a separate paragraph in our opinion. We don't have an opinion on the soil and water because the soil and water is not audited. It's presented as a discreetly presented component unit to the county. There will be a extra paragraph in the current year. If you recall from previous years, the last 2 years there was a restatement due to some cash balances. We did not have any restatements of that nature in the current year, no restatements due to internal controls, but there will be a paragraph on a restatement, and that restatement is just due to the implementation of a new GASB statement. So that's that statement relates to component units, and there was a component unit that's now required to be blended with the county, the St. Lawrence CDC, and that will be blended, so that caused the restatement. Similar next year, you have to implement GASB statement number 75 and restate your beginning net position balance as it relates to your other post-employment benefits liability. We already know that you're going to have a restatement to that, so we don't consider those type of restatements to be bad restatements. In addition to auditing the financial statements, we also perform a single audit, and that is the audit of all of the federal financial awards that you receive. We have to do a risk assessment to determine what programs that we're going to audit. We audited HEAP, we audited Social Security Block Grant, TANF, and the Substance Abuse Block Grant, and we didn't have any findings in those programs. It's important to note that there's 12 different compliance requirements. We test a sample of about 25 items for each program, and for each one of those items, there's about those 12 attributes related to each item. So there is a lot of testing as it relates to controls and compliance, and again, no findings. We will issue an auditor communications letter. That letter just goes over our required communications that we had with the audit committee that's presented on the next slide. I'm not going to go through that with you today. We did go through that with the audit committee as we were required to about 2 weeks ago. The other letter that we will issue is our management letter, and that letter is just going to have some other recommendations that we have for the county, other things that we don't consider to be significant. It's important to note that if you recall from previous years, we started auditing in 2015. There was a material weakness. There was significant deficiencies. In 2016, it was downgraded. There were significant deficiencies. For the 2017 audit, there will be no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies. So there's significant improvement. If you recall the findings from last year related to unreconciled cash and to policies and procedures. So During the 17 audit, cash was reconciled, balanced, and some of the policies and procedures that weren't there in 2016 were implemented for 2017 and continued to be implemented during 18 formalized. The last report that we will be issuing is your Department of Transportation report, and that is an audit of the aid that you receive from the New York State Department of Transportation. That's your CHIPS, which includes Pave New York, Extreme Winter Recovery, Marchicelli aid that you get from the DOT. We also do a risk assessment there, and we audited the CHIPS program. And there was one finding. It's really just the DOT is very specific in that they want that recorded in a specific account code, so the county just has to change what account code they're recording that to. One of the things that we discussed with Renee was that the significance of having no material weaknesses and significant deficiencies will be very positive in upcoming audits, as that relates to auditing your federal awards, because that risk assessment determines how much needs to be audited in the future. There will be that risk assessment will be a little bit different because you don't have those material weaknesses and significant deficiencies. The next slide just goes through our auditor communications, and like I said before, these will all be laid out in the letter that we will issue. It will go over if you had any changes in significant accounting policies, what your significant accounting estimates are, and any other matters that we deem to be important that need to be communicated. As it relates to the financial statement update, I'll just quickly go over the fund statements and kind of show where how 2017 played out. I'm sure that you are all well aware of these amounts, so I'll just kind of briefly go over to you like what our perspective was. The first is just revenues and expenditures. And as you can see, this will relate to, if you look at the second page of your financial statement, which is has page 18 at the bottom. During 2017, revenues exceeded expenditures by $4.3 million. Pretty similar to the previous year, significant differences can be seen in revenues increased by $3 million and expenditures increased by $3.3 million. So there was that same increase in that level of fund balance. Revenues, the primary increase is really due to the increase in the sales tax. So that was about $3 million. There was also an additional federal aid received that related to public safety, and that increase was offset by a decrease. There was a one-time extra tobacco settlement in 2016 that wasn't received in 2017 because it was one time. So those two netted each other out at about $1.8 million. Expenses also increased $3.3 million. $1.3 million of that was due to the distribution of the additional sales tax that was received, and $2.4 million is related to public safety. There was additional costs as it related to the boarding of additional prisoners and additional equipment purchases that correlated to that additional federal aid that was received related to public safety. And that's all laid out in the first column of that of your general fund. The total fund balance went from $13.9 million to $18.3 million. The next slide is just a picture of the real the revenues over the past 5 years. The dark green amount, the non-property tax items, is where you can see that increase from last year to this year. That is the sales tax. And then in the orange color is the increase in the federal aid. So those are really the most significant changes from the previous year. Next is your expenditures and your other uses. The most significant changes being in that sales tax distribution, which is included within your general government support, $43.6 million to $45 million. And then the public safety in the darker tan color due to those grants and the boarding expenses from $20 million to $23 million. Slide 7 is just a comparison of your revenues and your other sources versus expenditures and other uses. At 1%, you would be maintaining a level fund balance. So as you can see in the last 3 years, that amount over 1% shows the county rebuilding that fund balance. There is comparative charts in here. I'm not going to really go into too much detail about the other counties, but if you ever wanted to compare yourself to other counties, you could just let us know. We could easily run charts to see that comparison. The counties that we did use are similar in population and total budget. So that is how we chose to include those counties. There's also two comparative slides as it relates to real property taxes and sales taxes as a percentage of your total revenues, and comparatively where other counties are and where yourself and those other counties were 5 years prior. And I think the most significant item from these two charts is the percentage as it relates more comparatively with the change back in 13 between real property taxes and sales tax, and it's a bit more equitable as it relates in 2017. And the next slide is just the sales tax. Generally, we take a look at the general fund balance, both the unassigned and the assigned, as the assigned fund balance could be used if you needed it to for other reasons. There has been an increase in that over the past 3 years, and this chart was actually made from the AUD information, so it's slightly different from the audited financial statement. So unassigned and assigned as a percentage of your current year actual expenditures is 6.8% of your current expenditures, and we actually take out the amount of the fringe benefits, so that 6.8% is without the duplication of fringe benefits. I think the fund balance policy is a little bit different. I think you use 15% of your budgeted expenditures. Having just used the actual expenditures, you're currently at $11.5 million. If we use the amount of the actual expenditures and you wanted to get to about 17%, which is about the GFOA recommendation, the fund balance, total fund balance in that unassigned assigned would be about $28.9 million. And if you look at page 16, we can kind of break down your fund balance a little bit and see like what the classifications of fund balance are. So in the general fund, there's a total fund balance of $8.3 million. 3.5 is considered non-spendable, so that is made up entirely of a long-term receivable and your prepaid items. So that's considered not non-spendable. The second item is restricted, made up of $3.1 million, and that's primarily a separate fund that you have restricted for insurance. There's another small portion, about $60,000, that is for debt reduction. The assigned fund balance classification is $1.6 million, and that's made up of encumbrances, and then it's also the additional money that was put aside in June of this year for the capital reserve and the accrued employee liability reserve. So if you were comparing from last year to this year, these classifications of fund balance actually stayed pretty similar, in that even though you put that money into the unassigned, it's actually just about the same amount that it was last year, because there was about $1.4 million of encumbrances last year, and this year there's only $200,000. So those really just flip-flopped. The unassigned itself is $9.8 million now, and that increased about $4 million from last year. So you saw an increase to your unassigned fund balance of that $4 million that the fund balance increased. The third and fourth pages of the fund financial statements are just what is considered your non-major funds, and I'll quickly just go through each one of those. The county road fund is pretty similar to last year. There was more activity, about $1 million more in CHIPS because they have that the Pave New York and the Extreme Winter Recovery. There was a little bit more transportation aid. The road machinery fund was almost exactly the same as it was in the previous year. Fund balance increased a little bit in that fund by $550,000. The special grant fund is a zero balancing fund. Whatever comes into that fund goes out of that fund, similar to last year as well. And then the capital projects fund, all of the projects were fully funded by transfers from the county road fund, and it used a little bit of fund balance, so there's $210,000 left in the capital projects fund. In total, I guess the most significant things I think are the reduction of not having any material weaknesses, not having any significant deficiencies. We had fewer entries that we did in the previous year, and we're, the issuance date is actually, or the date of the report is actually 1 month sooner than it was in the previous year, so. My information and the partner Luke's information is on the last slide, so if you had any questions that you wanted to ask later about these slides, or if you wanted to see other comparative data, you could just send us an email or give us a call. If you had questions about the audit, you can also reach out to us. If you have any questions right now, I would be happy to answer them for you.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
Yeah. 3 years ago, New York State Comptroller's Office and their audit described St. Lawrence County as fiscally distressed. In your opinion, would St. Lawrence County still be fiscally distressed?
I think that the county has significantly increased their level of fund balance. They take into a variety of factors. I don't know like specifically every single factor that they take into account, but I would think that their opinion would be much better at this point. Your level of fund balance is still lower than what the GFOA recommendation is, but some of the other things that I know that they take into consideration is your short-term borrowing, and in the last 2 years you were able to cut it in half last year, and then it looks like this year that you're probably not going to have to do short-term borrowing. So I would think that the county is in a better position on the road to reestablishing that fund balance.
Straight.
Well, I think it's great news. We've increased the fund balance by $4 million this year. And that's a tribute to all our department heads, the staff, our treasurer's office, getting things lined up and everybody with the same goal in mind of, you know, fiscal stability. I think the progress that we've made, and it's been pretty much a bipartisan effort, that will continue this progress in the coming years. I think we're off to a good start and making significant progress, and I think that's attributed to all our employees and our staff, and certainly our county administrator. Thank you, Ruth.
Renee.
Just to get back to Joel's question, I believe that the basis for the comptroller's assignment of fiscally stressed, less fiscally stressed, is based on the submission of our AUD, which has been submitted, and I think it's usually late August that they come out with those scores, so we should hopefully see some improvement on it once again this year. Okay, that was it.
We were only 1.3% away from no designation, so our hope is that we'll be there this year.
Anybody else? So I would just like to add that I'm pretty proud of this group. I think we've done quite well, and I think the main thing we have to be proud of is sitting right over here. Hiring Ruth as our county administrator is the best decision I think we made, and then getting out of her way and letting her and her team take the lead. I know there were a lot of questions as to whether or not we could even get from the minus $3 million to zero, and they've managed to pull it out. Looking at that last chart, though, we still do have a ways to go. We've made improvements. I won't be here, but I hope those of you that are just bring the new people on board and getting out of her way. letting her and her team do their job. So thanks, Ruth. Anybody else? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll move on to presentation of resolutions. I would entertain a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Department of Highways for the Road Machinery Fund. Mr. Denisha and Ms. Bell.
Thank you. The resolution that you have in front of you is basically moving funds within the department to cover for fuel and repair parts. The budget lines in the 2018 budget, when we were going through the process, we did make cuts to that. However, as you can see, a large portion of the expenditures are being offset by reimbursements from fuel sales. So it is all balanced within the fund. I may be needing to speak with the board before the end of the year as we get closer to the end on fuel expenditures. I can tell you that our we did have a more than average winter, so our fuel usage was up. So that doesn't help. So I likely need to talk to the board again as we get closer to the end of the season about the fuel lines as well. But at this point, everything is within the existing road machinery fund and moving funds around to where it's needed most.
Mr. Akers.
Don, so you mentioned the fuel. Will you have an additional line that you can counteract that, or you'll be asking for quite possibly an increase in funds?
Quite possibly from the contingency fund. If you recall, when we were going through the budget, the county administrator did put aside funds for designated for fuel, I believe, yep. In that discussion. We did have during last year's budget process, and fuel did go up. Again, I think we'll
tap into that.
We'll have that. Okay. But we did have some additional revenues, and which are helping us out at this point. But we did have expenditures.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization to fill a motor equipment operator position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Arquette.
Yes, this position will become vacant on September 27th as a result of a retirement. For motor equipment operators in our Department of Highways budget, we have 14 such positions. And that position does a wide variety of operations, snowplow operations and other crew operations all season long. Construction during the summer, maintenance, snowplow in the winter, and other maintenance operations. But I did want to mention to the board that an HEO, heavy equipment operator, that we just that became vacant basically near the first part of 2018. I just filled this week with a labor. I believe the Department of Highways is, because of Addendum A of the CSEA contract, basically requires that that I look at current employees first. So if there is a individual within the department that meets the qualifications, I must consider them first, and which I think is good for our organization, so I have no issue at all with that, and that's not why I'm mentioning it. I'm just, it's a mechanism that I have to go through, so there's quite a time between where the vacancy is actually in there by following the process that we're going through. I would like to discuss the possibility of having it where it's a period of time from the initial vacancy to bringing a new individual from the street into the organization. Instead of it taking 9 months or so, to fill a position if we could move closer to what is really in the directive, you know, for your vacancies, you know, 30, 60, 90 or whatever. But 6 to 9 months is quite a long time to hold a vacancy, and resulted in significant overtime, at where we had to amend the budget for overtime as well. And having those vacancies, especially during the wintertime, results in, is a direct result in overtime. So, so I just would like to at least talk about that situation.
Any questions, comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization to fill a motor equipment operator position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Burke. Mr. Perkins, Ms. Bell.
Thank you. This is vacancy is due to a promotion. Again, this started out as a heavy equipment operator position with the promotion of a person to that, from a motor equipment operator to heavy equipment operator. And that promotion took place on the 10th of August. And again, 14 positions in the budget.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an agreement between the town of Parrishville and the county of St. Lawrence regarding tax delinquent property in Parrishville, New York. Mr. Perkins, Ms. Bell.
Thank you. The resolution you have before you addresses specifically a request by the town of Parrishville to have a non-conforming lot previously owned by Kevin French and prior to that Herbert Champney conveyed to the town of Parrishville for the back taxes, interest, penalties, and fees that the county has accumulated since it's been delinquent. The property itself is the former site of the Ashlaw's gas and auto repair shop in Parrishville. A couple of years ago, the county struck one of its agreements with the DEC, and the DEC expended about $59,000 to clean that property up, so now it is possible to convey that parcel on. We attempted to sell it at auction. The successful bidder took the property and paid for it, but thereafter went delinquent after it was determined that no development could occur that the bidder had wanted to see happen there. So. Our hope is to convey that on to the town of Parrishville.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Forsyth.
Have they given any plans for the property, what they intend to do with it? Or?
At the moment, they haven't. I can always inquire as to what they would like to do. But I understand because it is a corner lot and it is non-conforming, there are somewhat limited options.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Forsyth, what they're looking to do is to clean that up a little bit and add it to their park that they're using right now. They're trying to beautify the section right there. And being a non-conforming lot, nothing else can be done there.
Mr. Akers.
Will any of these monies have to be with our agreement? Some of that money has to go to the DEC, what they've talked about paying in this case?
Not on this agreement.
Okay.
You're good to point that out. In prior agreements where we have struck a deal with the DEC prior to the cleanup of the site, the proceeds from the auction is actually split 50-50 with the DEC.
Right.
In this situation, this agreement was struck after cleanup and no requirement for the shared acquisition of funds.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Steve. I'd ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for community services for funding received from the Office of Mental Health and the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services. Mr. Burke, Mr. Hooper.
This is a resolution asking the board to modify the 2018 budget of community services due to a cost of living increase in the pass-through funds to the downstream or contract agencies.
Any questions, Mr. Akers? No? Any anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we have information on IMA billing software.
As you recall, we use IMA as our software, an electronic health record. It also does has a billing component to it. So in the beginning of March, we contracted them for additional services to provide the cleanup for the EHR. So they began that in March. We also went into a contract with TriZetto, which is an electronic billing clearinghouse, and that went live in the middle of March. And then lastly, IMA began taking over the billing component with kind of direct hands-on service to the billing department the first week of April. They issued a payer analysis, and it's dated 8/21/18. The top 10 payers, which includes Fidelis, Medicaid, Fidelis HARP, United Healthcare Managed Medicaid, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Empire Plan, United Health, St. Lawrence, Lewis, Medicare, and Fidelis. All of those are being billed anywhere between 100, the lowest being 76%, which is the Empire Plan, but most are in the 90s and 100% in terms of what's being billed. Total number of services that were billed were 7,792. Out of those, there was only 28 denials, which is a significant improvement from where we were coming from. Medicaid, the Medicare reimbursement, which we struggled with in the past, is at 94.63%. We did some adjusting in terms of our staff, in terms of moving different clients around who could help with getting reimbursed for the Medicare, because there's different, I guess you would say, little different formularies for Medicare compared to Medicaid managed care and commercial insurances. There were 454 write-offs, and most of those, 454 write-offs. Most of those were due because of untimely billing. When they started this process, the billing in April, they went back into December to try to recapture whatever they could from months prior. And in doing so, the write-offs were high. Hopefully from here on out that we won't have near as many write-offs in moving forward. This analysis reflects from January to May. So it really, it's only a snapshot of the first 7 weeks that they took over the billing component in the department. But we were, prior to them coming on board, we were at 59%. And they moved the needle to 67% in about 7 weeks. One of the reasons why we don't have a more current snapshot is we're still doing the remittances, the postings in the old way, the manual way. And as we move forward on the timeline, more and more of these remittances will be posted electronically by IMA. So as we move into June and July and certainly in August, we certainly shouldn't have as many manual postings to accomplish. So currently the postings on the CD side, we're good up until the end of June, but the mental health postings are only till the end of April. So So some of the remittances for the mental health side were not reflected in that 67% revenue percentage reimbursement rate. So, you know, I say all this in terms of, you know, looking to move forward. I plan to kind of bring a hopefully a better snapshot back to you next month, and hopefully we'll have more of the remittances posted and we'll have a little more accurate numbers in terms of, you know, where the revenue percentage has gone up at that point. But we're looking, having to make a decision moving forward if we want to have IMA continue to do the billing component, while the two billing clerks that we have, you know, continue to put together the what they call a billing header and send the invoices or put, you know, enter the invoices into the system so that IMA then can send them out electronically. They're also doing some paper submissions. They're posting their remittances, and they're also trying to correct some of the errors that occur prior to the invoices going out, so we don't have as many denials. You know, with any system, you kind of make progress in one area, and then other areas of concern or problems kind of reveals itself. So moving forward, we're still, you know, trying to get our treatment plans done in a timely manner and making sure all the signatures and the correct diagnoses are on the progress notes. In terms of production, we budgeted for 4.5, and our current production is around 3.7. So we're missing the mark there. Part of that is because we have a no-show rate anywhere between 35% and 67%, with an average of 48% no-show rate, which is remarkable. The average, you know, I think you want to be about 20, and I think there's some agencies that are even shooting for less than that. You know, 30 would, you know, would be certainly more acceptable, but, you know, we're above that curve. So in moving forward, looking at a call reminder system as one piece of trying to address that. We're working on getting some bids for that. The one bid that we have is approximately $700 a month. So if 7 to 8 appointments show in that month, it would pay for itself. And hopefully it would be beyond that. We did hire a program director, so that'll provide more oversight to some of the documentation issues. And we're also starting to work with Step by Step, which is a peer support agency that helps with engagement of clients.
Mr. Forsythe.
Thank you. The 429 write-offs, can you attach a dollar figure, ballpark? What that equates to in money?
Well, you figure $100 a...
$42,000? The no-show rate does seem high. Is that... Do other counties have averages of no-show rates, too? Are we high, low?
I'm sure they do. I haven't gotten them, but I'm sure we're high.
I'd be curious, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're at 20, you're doing all right. 30's a little high. I think there's some agencies that are probably down to 15.
Yeah. Because I know in the private sector, like dentist appointments, and my doctor had some, or my dad had some procedures lately, they call like 3-4 times. It almost seems like a pain, but it defeats the no-show. It worked. So yeah, that call, that definitely in my mind is something that should be looked at. And the last is the 29 denials. Did you break those down for similarities? Was it one person doing the billing inaccurately? Mm-hmm. Was it one common thing they were making a mistake on, or?
You know, I got this on the 21st, and I touched base with them a little bit, and I called back this week, and they're all on vacation.
I'd be curious just if they could just kind of tweak that a bit, just to see if there's something that sticks out there.
Sure.
But besides that, thank you.
Mr. Akers.
Yeah, Jay, how many requests were there? 750? Oh, that was 28 denials, wasn't it? Is it 28 versus 29? think that was what you said, unless I misheard you. It's 28. So, and that was out of how many? 700 and some?
7,000. Well, there were 7,792 total services, and services billed were 7,549.
So, I would say that's a pretty good percentage of, or with only 28 denials, but still, we'd like to have them all, or for sure, you know. That's a big improvement. Ruth, what is, I forget, what was the financial impact of IMA as far as what was their cost? Or maybe Jay, you wanted, could either one of you answer the, I forgot what we have to pay for that service. Is it like $10,000 a month or something like that? Is the number that I recollect. You think it's five, John?
I believe it's five as well.
You think it's five?
I believe that they were looking at seven if we weren't going to have them do the billing also, and then they backed that down when we elected to have them take on the whole project until September. And then we have the ability, and that's what Jay and I have been talking about, we have the ability to have them go through the end of the year, which I think would give an even better picture of what's capable, but also to look at a recommendation for 19 and budget accordingly.
Yeah.
It's 5,000.
5,000. So far it looks like a pretty good return on investment. Thank you.
Anybody else? Mr. Perkins.
Jay, on the no-shows, do you talk to the people, because they must be coming back again, find out why there's no-show? Is it transportation, or is there different reasons that could be addressed?
There are different reasons. I mean, each person's different. Transportation is one issue. I think, you know, I think engaging our clients therapeutically, enhancing that would help. Getting perhaps a little better buy-in for the clinicians to try to engage some of the people we serve. Certainly on the CD side, you know, I think their motivation for change waxes and wanes quite a bit. I think we need to work probably more closely in communication with probation to be on top of that so that they also support them being engaged in treatment as well. So it's a multitude of factors. I think a lot of times they do just forget. I think a lot of them can be fairly disorganized and their life's somewhat chaotic, and I do think the call reminder system would help quite a bit.
Anyone else? Thanks, Jay. Would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Board of Elections for information technology equipment compatible with the NTS Team Voter Management System. Mr. Anisha, Ms. Bell.
This is accepting grant money that we applied for to take care of all of the replacement computers, scanner, all of the equipment in our office in order to upgrade our team system. Their NTS is doing the upgrade, but we had to have all of this in place and working before they'll do that. And now we're in election season, so it will end up being after the elections. But we've got all of the equipment, and this is just receiving the money for the equipment purchased.
Any questions? Mr. Denisha.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. It's not related to the resolution, but have you seen an uptick in new voter registrations?
Right now we have the deadline for the primary. So, of course, where people were more interested in primaries, there were people who registered. And right now a lot of college students just coming back, so we'll have a lot of voter registration drives on campuses. So those will, you know, increase our voter registration.
Good. Thank you.
Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks.
Thank you.
Want to start with the resolution?
Yes.
We Could have a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign documents necessary to accept grant funding for roof replacement of the Taney Center and modifying the 2018 budget for the county administrator's office. Mr. Burke, Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Lightfoot.
Title kind of says it all. This is another SAM grant. This is the second or third that you've done so far. These are being done at the behest of our state senator, working with local organizations, and the county will apply on behalf of the organization and front the money. The work will get done, and then we'll do the final draw and reimburse ourselves. I just wanted to let you know, in addition to this one for Taney, we've finally received contact from the Madrid Power Museum, and they too have a project and an offer of assistance from the senator, and I'll be chatting with those folks a bit more tomorrow. Their project's a little more complex. The ones you've been seeing so far are pretty discreet. This roof replacement job's about $47,000 in the estimate, and the basis, the rest of it rather, is contingency. Their project's more complex, and they'll have to do some matching fund allocation, and they're working on that.
Any questions? Thank you. County administrator's report.
We need him to vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
One to go back just for a moment to the highway discussion with regards to contingency. Annually, there is a fuel target in contingency. This year, it's $200,000. And at this time, there has been complete out of contingency $251,000 spent to date, none of which has been for fuel. So that's available certainly for the board's discretion if Don does need to come back. That also potentially does need attention if fuel prices go up for other areas of the county. So I did want to make you aware of that. To the other topic, certainly of the last week's time, an update on the website hack in recent days. We're coming up on 6 days that our website has been down. It is not back up as we sit here this evening. We had the state CERT team do an additional scan after repairs and maintenance had been made over the weekend. There were a few additional areas that needed attention. So that hopefully will go back up tomorrow. The state will finish the review and make sure that we are where we need to be. The last thing we'd like to have happen is another compromising situation with the website. So we certainly will keep you posted. If you have any questions, we certainly can address those. But I also will give you an update on some more specifics in executive session. Any questions on that right now? Okay. We will still plan to hold the Employee Appreciation Day this week on Wednesday from noon to 2. Potentially, we will be looking at some pretty significant weather at this point. Considering that we may be still looking at the Labor Day weekend, my interest is not in looking to move that date, but still to hold it, and if we need to, move inside. So that will take place just outside the chambers here on the lawn. We also will be distributing to those who hadn't received them over the last period of about 5 years, who have hit significant years of service with their service pins. If you have time, we'd certainly like to have you join us if you can do that. Received today notice that the Army Corps of Engineers will be accepting comments regarding dredging the Ogdensburg Harbor that we've heard about over the last year. And the comment period begins today, and it ends Tuesday, September 18th. So we'll get working on something, certainly bring that back to your attention before we submit. Wanted to make you aware that the Walk with the Dock, that Public Health Department has been promoting, had their biggest turnout last weekend on Saturday in Governor, and the next one will be Saturday, September 29th in Messina. So certainly would enjoy your company as well as the physicians that have been attending. So if you can make it, please let us know. And then the last thing that I have that's on the agenda is the annual vacancy review. I wanted to both bring to your attention the data from this year as well as look back over the last couple of years. So since September 1st of 2017 through August of 2018, we have had 159 total requests. Now, that's compared to, in 2016 to 17, 156, and in 2015 to 16, 160. So we're hovering within about five positions each year of vacant positions to be considered. This year, we had approved 143 brought to your brought forward from the Vacancy Review Committee to be approved. We held 14 for further consideration and or changes back with the department, and two were withdrawn. So overall, and I brought to you last year some percentages, but overall that equates to approximately 54% were filled immediately, 17% were held for 30 days, 19% were held at the 60-day mark, and then approximately 10% were held indefinitely or withdrawn. So I think when we initially took this on in 2015, we were in the neighborhood that we are now. We were at 56% were filled immediately. Now in 2016-17, we improved upon that, depending on who you ask, and went to 30% immediate fills. So there's you know, both the numbers that improve, however, that may have a dramatic impact on the department. In the held 30 days, in our first year, we were 8%. Last year, 13%, and this year, 17%. So a slight improvement in how in the held for 30-day positions. Held for 60 days has been in the neighborhood of about 7%, 22% the first year, 25% of the grand total, and 19% this year. We did give 90 days 2%, and those and 2% were denied last year. And this year, there were neither in those categories. And in the held withdrawn, the first year we're only at 10%. Last year we were at 28%, and this year 10% for the total with positions. Now I think the percentages tell you one story, but also looking at the change in departments. So for example, in highway, this last year we had 25 positions. The year before there were only 20 requests. However, in social services there were 52 requests this year and only 48 last year. So I think you can see the ebb and the flow. Office for the Aging this year had 9 positions, last year only 3. So between in the organization, we see those numbers coming in around the same after 3 years. And we'll continue to do this. I think certainly if there's an interest on the board's part in improving one of the areas, I think you've done a really good job this year of addressing departments, particularly in the overlapping of positions. I think you've given consideration to some institutional knowledge that's been with the county for a long tenure and overlapping those positions and given, I think it's been very carefully considered, but where there's been value in that, doing that. I think you've done that 4 times over the last 12 months. And I think one of the areas that Don raised as an issue is a unique issue that if any of you who have sit in on vacancy that highways come before us had the opportunity to hear the distance between that first vacancy and the final vacancy. And one of the things with the review committee we discussed, because in CSEA contract, the only department that has an outlined, beyond civil service, an outlined promotion process, it's the highway department. And so one of the compromises that we talked about bringing to you was the opportunity for Don to bring that initial vacancy, but then continue all the way through his review process and fill all of the vacancies created as a result of until he gets to that laborer, or until he gets to that last position, and then bring that back to you for the fill. I think what's been happening, as he described, is the constant turnover in the vacancy review with a resolution every month just to complete really what's one could be considered as one transaction. So I would ask that you consider that. I could bring you a resolution that dovetails off of the Vacancy Review Committee authorization that creates an environment that addresses highway because it is unique. Now certainly all of the departments can come forward and want theirs filled immediately or want special consideration, but not all of the departments are treated in the CSEA contract like highway. And I think in keeping with both the contract language and with civil service that it makes sense to make that recommendation. Have any questions?
Mr. Burke.
Are you suggesting, Ruth, that they would have a 60-day hold and then no hold from that point on? Or are you suggesting for highway that because there are a whole series of promotional steps that no vacancy would require more than a 60-day delay?
So the way we discussed this taking place would be the initial fill would come through the traditional process that all departments deal with. Whatever the consideration or recommendation coming out of, whether it's 30, 60, or 90 days, be in its traditional form. However, after that position's filled, the positions behind it be able to be filled as soon as he can go through the process he has to undertake, which is a scoring process, a canvassing process that requires attention and time. And then when he gets to the last process, so there wouldn't be any delay in the in-between positions, that he would, which there's an imputed delay just because of the timeline associated with getting the candidates, scoring the candidates, interviewing, and the process to fill. And then it would be that bottom position, the last position rather, that he would then bring back to the vacancy committee, rather than each month for 6 months, as you've just seen tonight, he potentially could be back in two or three, depending on how, because you never know how a position's going to be filled. You know, it's not a straight line necessarily. He would bring that last position back, and we could account for the savings between them because we track each position individually.
Is it possible that when Don comes before the vacancy committee, that he could outline the series of progressions and get them all approved at the same time, and have no more than a 60-day delay, which all the other departments have right now, so that when you factor in time for scoring and interviews and stuff, that he may initially only have a delay of 4 or 5 days, and then because the anticipated delay from scoring and all the other process would bring him up to the 30 days. He shouldn't have any different standard than any other department has. So I would encourage a resolution that would address no more than 60 days for the whole series. Just a thought.
Anybody? Just, I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but this, the pure percentages, I don't think capture what you've done with abolish and create.
That's true.
I would say that another thing that I've really been impressed with over the last few years is the reorganization of positions and abolishing positions that you don't feel are at the level that they need to be. So I think that's probably helped a lot too.
Absolutely, we can track that. And I think one of the things with the work of Dylan coming on, as well as working with HR, who's been tracking it all along, when you look at, some of you may recall years ago we tracked the vacancy savings, and I think some would argue that with those savings we would spend them once, twice, maybe three times, in the context of how they materialized. And when tracking all of the positions since September 1st of last year, we come up to a base savings, base cost of 1.9. And we don't necessarily want to count the fringe, because I think we can get into a whole host of variables, how you may come up with that number. But I think that's a significant savings, and it doesn't come from not getting the work done, because the staff that we have still pull together and get the work done in the absence of their coworker who's either retired or left for another opportunity. But it is a savings that's allowed us some opportunities to be creative, to look at some other options, and certainly thank the workforce for doing that.
Questions? That's all you have. All right. Under old business, we have a discussion for electronic home monitoring.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for giving me a few minutes to talk about home monitoring. Ruth and I have been in discussions recently about some concerns I've had with the program. We just hit our 6 month mark from when we started it, and the numbers are considerably lower than I thought we would be this time of the year. So I'll give you a little breakdown of how this works. So the grant's for $196,596. And it works on milestones. So we have to hit certain milestones, and for every milestone we hit, we get paid. So every time we interview somebody, our milestone for the year is 400. We have to interview 400 people. For everybody we interview, we get a little over $73. For everybody released under home monitoring, which the milestone is 110 released to us each year, for each one released, we get just shy of $715. And for every success, which they want us to have 80 each year, we get a little over $1,100. So far at the 6 month mark, our interviewed, we are doing well. We've interviewed 210 people as of the end of July. So that's 52% of our target. my concern is the number released and the number completed. So far we've only had 19% released, which is 21 total, and our successes are 6, which isn't even 1% of our total, of our milestone. So my concern is, without hitting these milestones, without getting paid, at the end of the year we're not going to have enough money to cover payroll and to cover equipment and everything else. Really, it's more just payroll and overtime on-call pay. I have been in discussion with the state. I did find a loophole in our contract. Originally, it was set up where it was going to be for felonies only, that rate medium risk to high risk. Well, the word felony was never put in there. So after talking with the state, they're going to allow us to throw in misdemeanors also. So we're going to be able to go back to January and claim all the misdemeanors that we've interviewed too. So that should help bring in some money. Obviously, it's not going to help our release because we weren't looking at releasing any of those people as of yet. So we will be doing that now. I've also had another meeting with Judge Richards, and hoping that he's going to help us find more people to be released under the program. At this point, I'm especially targeting, I'd like to see him release more of the people he's holding for alcohol and substance abuse evaluations. He's remanding those people to be evaluated. When we evaluate in the jail, chemical dependency doesn't get reimbursed for that. So I'd like him to release those people on home monitoring so they can be evaluated in the community. If inpatient's recommended, keep them on home monitoring until the bed's available. That's just a success for us when we close them out when they go inpatient. If outpatient's recommended, then we'd keep them on home monitoring through the process, and once they complete chemical dependency, that'd be another success for us. So we're working on trying to up those numbers of released and our successful completions. Hopefully I'll have more information as we go. We will be looking at, like I said, misdemeanors now too. So hopefully that will increase. Right now it just seems like the type of crimes that are being committed aren't what we want to release people on. A lot of the meth cases, we don't want to release those people back to their home to make more meth. The $1 million savings I said we would be looking at in the 5 years, I'm hesitant to continue that prediction unless I see things turn around. Hopefully we'll be getting another drug bust here soon that will help out a lot. But I just kind of wanted to update you guys where we are at this point and keep your fingers crossed that we end up the year okay. As far as the grant goes, the state has said they are going to renew everybody's grants for another year. And they're going to allow us to look at our milestones and possibly change those. If we can submit a request to lower our milestones, so we're going to do that too. I'm just not sure what that means. If that means they're going to reduce the money too because the milestones have reduced, or if they're just going to up the value for each milestone and keep the dollar amount where it is for the $196,000. So I've got some questions to get answered still, but I just wanted to kind of share my concerns with you guys, and just so at the end of the year, this isn't a bombshell I drop on your laps that we're $20,000 short or something of that nature.
Mr. Burke.
Are you benchmarking with other entities, other counties that are doing this? And I'm just wondering, if you are, how are they doing in comparison with us?
We're the only ones doing the electronic home monitoring.
We are. So other county is?
There's no other counties doing it. So.
Is it, you mentioned the severity of the cases. Oh, do you mind if I ask? Okay. You mentioned the severity of the cases. Is that what you consider the primary cause of our low numbers?
That's my guess right now. I think it's repeat offenders, so it's the second felony offenders and the predicate felonies that the court can't release necessarily. So that's not helping either. I truly thought we would be at least 3 times the amount. Right now we're averaging at about 10 people released to the program since it started. can't seem to get over 10. If we do, it seems like somebody violates and we get knocked back down to 10. So we're stuck on 10 for some reason.
Anybody else?
One of the things that I thought was important for Tim to come and update you on this program is if this were last year at this time, we'd be in a very different situation financially. And I think one of the challenges we faced, and we're talking in budget discussions at this point, is how we structure how we want to fund this for next year. So we're talking about that now. We're looking at some of the numbers. Tim's going to come back next month and look at the misdemeanor component he mentioned tonight and see if we can determine yet if it would support another position. I think those are the careful considerations. When these don't pan out the way that we typically would expect that they do, what's our next plan so that it doesn't end up costing the county money? So that's what we're working on now, and certainly we'll bring that to you as a part of the budget conversation as well.
If it gets renewed for next year, do you think the misdemeanor will be still covered? Or?
Yes, because that part of the grant's not going to change. We don't have to resubmit the grant. Like you said, you're able to tweak the grant. I don't think they're looking at adding just felonies, especially the situation we're in.
Right.
They don't want to not give us this money, because if we don't get it, basically it just goes to waste. So the state's really working with us, and they didn't put up a fight at all when I said, you know, the grant doesn't really spell out misdemeanors. They didn't put up a fight. They want us to get the money. So I don't think they're going to look to jam us up. I think if anything, they're going to try to help us. I would assume they would be generous with the milestones too. So that's my hope.
Anybody else? More old business. Any other new business other than Renee?
You're not old.
Okay, so believe it or not, I asked to be put on the agenda tonight just to deliver a treasurer's report. So, progress, right?
Yeah.
I'll try to keep it short, but I had a number of items I just kind of wanted to go through and keep you up to date on. But I'd like to follow up for just a minute on our 2017 audit. I know that I think you heard Nicole address the fact that we had no audit findings reported on the 2017 audit, and I'd like to say I consider it a major accomplishment, and to let you know it's my continued goal. It's our continued goal moving forward to keep it that way. With regards to that, I wanted to share an interesting fact that I discovered. I pulled copies of this section of prior audit reports in order to find the last audit report with no findings for the county, and I had to go back to 2005. So I thought that was pretty long time. It's pretty deep, so I'm hoping we can maybe go for another one next year, break that record. The next thing I kind of wanted to talk about was the bank reconciliation summary. I think you all received a copy of that on Google Drive. That was the summary report. It was our first month of following through on that adopted policy and the procedures with that. So we adopted the policy on July 9th. Afterwards, I held a meeting on July 23rd with my bank reconciliation team just to review the policy, review the assignments, and discuss the goals, specifically the timing, which is really tight, as well as the importance of communicating any issues that arise. If you've had an opportunity to review the summary, you can see that we met the 20-day business deadline, which would have been July 30th. I'll point out that it was a very tight deadline and we were right up to it on a couple of the accounts. I think there will be times when we might miss it by a couple of days, although we're going to try our best not to. Some of the things to consider is an average 4 to 5 business days it takes us to get the file back from KeyBank in order to have our outstanding check reports and our cleared check reports. All cash-related journal entries need to be entered, reviewed, and posted, and there are only 3 of us in the county that can post them, that do the review and posting step. And to give you an idea, volume-wise, we had 139 lines with a cash account within the journal entries for 1 month, for the month of June. So it's just volume. And we're doing our best to address it, and we don't wait and do them all at the end of the month, but they build up at the end of the month. Everybody, other departments get their work in as well. So so we're juggling other duties at the same time, but we're working through it. I just kind of wanted to go over that and make sure that you all saw that. And we are just about on time right now for this month, so we're sticking with it. In June, I talked about the Stop DWI fines collection. I had reported that someone in our office is participating as part of a team on trying to collect the DWAI and DWI fines and surcharges. So far, 60 cases have had notices to appear, sent, you know, prepared, documented, and mailed. And although we've only worked through the alphabet to the letter E, our office is receiving a lot of phone calls with people with questions on their cases and payment information. Out of the 60 notices that were sent, 9 letters were returned with no forwarding addressed. 19 cases have made payment arrangements with their office, and 4 have agreed to make payments but haven't yet. So the ones out of that 60 that haven't done this, the next step for those are warrants. So just a little more information on that program. So we have approximately 260 more cases to start the process to finish the alphabet. The fourth item I wanted to discuss was the sales tax update. I believe I mailed you the last payment. We've received 2 of them so far for this quarter. If I use the same payments for the next 4 payments in this quarter that we received last year, we could end the quarter at 2.29% over last year. And I'll stress the could. So couple more items. Installment contracts for property taxes. It's that time of year again for our office. I have a staff member that devotes most of her time in August and September each year to meeting with taxpayers to do installment agreement contracts for payments of delinquent taxes. So it's for 2017 and 18. We can't go back any further than that on that. The requirement that is 25% down. It's a quarterly payment while keeping taxes current. So this allows taxpayers to keep their properties out of the tax foreclosure process. As of August 27th, Sue has done 41 contracts, because there's really start slow, and September is, she's booked completely. We have seen a decline in the last few years in the number of those contracts. In 2015, there were 252. In 2016, there was 211. And in 2017, there was 190. And then I have an auction update. I know that there's probably been a lot of questions on the property tax auction with our changes with switching to. The foreclosure list was signed by the judge on July 9th, 2018. There were 248 parcels on that list. We added 15 parcels from last year's auction and have since subtracted 76. That have been paid or redeemed from the list, leaving us with 187 parcels in the auction book as of August 23rd of this year. Last year, there were 167 in the auction and 150 parcels in the 2016. So they continue to increase. As far as Auctions International, they have posted all the properties with auction sale signs. Right now, they're hosting tonight as we speak, or it may be done, but they are hosting a pre-auction bidders seminar at Lockwood Arena in Ogdensburg. Ads have been placed in both our local papers and online news agencies, as well as in every region in the state. They sent me a list by region, and I did a rough count of over 150 papers, so that's a lot more advertising than we could ever do. They're also doing a Facebook campaign where they're targeting by geographically and demographics to target the interested purchasers in our region, and they're also targeting the Canadian market for that. The auction book is available online at auctionsinternational.com. The auction books are being overnighted to each town, real property, and treasures departments tomorrow, and there's no charge for the books if you come and pick them up. Open houses, we're holding open houses this year. That's something new that we did not do in the past with our auction. There are 10 properties that we will hold the company will hold open houses at. There's a schedule of that online as well. That will be September 1st and September 2nd. had a couple of thoughts so far on the whole changeover as far as our office. You know, it's been a big learning curve for everybody, specifically Sandra Bartlett in my office, because she's really kind of spearheaded it all along when we've done it internally. But we've found them, the company themselves, very responsive and very good to deal with. So I think the biggest change for us is, I think, you know, we don't have a big window to get things done. We had to wait for the redemption period to end before they could do the books. So registration for the auction starts at 8 o'clock. It's on August 9th, and September 9th, I'm sorry, September 9th. 8 o'clock is registration starts, and bidding starts at 10 at the Lockwood Arena. And my last note is that I'll be absent from Finance Committee meeting next month because I'm going to attend the NYSEC Fall Conference in Rochester. That's it.
Any other new business, Mr. Eggers?
Just, Renee, it's a tremendous accomplishment. I mean, you go back to 2005. That's really, it's a great job on your part and your staff. So thank you.
Congratulations. We don't have public comment during committee meetings.
I've been in the treasurer's office three times with all the money, cash money. And they'll tell me, you can't accept your money right now. Well, not today. Can't accept your money today.
We have a need for executive session for negotiations, litigation, and appointments. Do I have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Perkins, Mr. Arquette, all in favor? All in favor for executive session? Opposed? Motion carries. We're in executive session. Thank you.